I'll say is that Gary has got a loop in his backyard. I went and looked at it, and it is fascinating to see how that thing is built. But I need to understand what is happening with that in order to build it correctly. And I've got to figure out a way to get a handle on this in order to do that. Jerk out of somewhere to put in there and figure out what I need to do that. But eventually I'm going to end up at a point to where I need to be able to put a device on that antenna and it tells me, okay, you're at such and such impedance. And if it's high, well, I'll just end it there. But I think I've learned a little bit tonight, and I've got some more digging to do, though. But KO4NUE.
Talking about putting capacitors on antennas. Most of those are basically filter caps to help cut down on noise as far as that goes. You can put a capacitance hat on my screwdriver antenna out there, and it will change the won't change the way it works, but it'll change the noise level on it some. With a capacitance hat, you don't always have to have as long a whip as I've got on mine. You can shorten the whip, and the capacitance hat acts as part of, the part of the vertical whip that's on the top of that coil. But most of the time, that's they put those in there for filter purposes. If that helps you any on that part.
I know that there's certain types of components I need to deal with. And if I'm going to ask the questions, then I'm going to have to do my part. And my part is, okay, I need to go see what those components do. And I got a pretty good handle on it. I'm a little weak on an inductor. I can go study what an inductor does and then go back and study what a transformer does. And because when y'all say the word transformer, I'm thinking of this big heavy piece of iron that's in the back of Daddy's welding machine. After tonight, I got a feeling that's not the kind of inductor. Well, it is. It's iron core with metal wrapped around it. But until I understand exactly what's happening and what it's doing, I'm not going to be able to get an understanding on that. But with that said, let me let this drop. For this, all of this is that where the frequencies that I hang out on is in or close to the 80 meter bands. And I am really struggling to hear. And because of the noise, and I know 80 meters has been horrible the last month or so. I understand that. But I've got to find a way to get this noise down. And well, Gary, let me ask you this real quick, and I'm going somewhere with this tonight. Did you check in on the South Carolina single sideband tonight? I I checked in. I turned the radio on just when they were doing Mike through Papa, so I missed your call. But the last couple nights, there was one night where I can only count it like three or four check-ins because the noise was so bad. And I am able to switch between my dipole and the G5RV to test, you know, to listen. And I'm just not understanding that an antenna that's this popular and everybody raves about, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It's horrible. Which tells me, and I switch over to my dipole, and the S level drops dramatically. I don't know how to interpret that. I know at face value, it's good dipole. That's at face value. But it can't be that simple. I should be able to do more with that G5RV than I am, and I'm not understanding totally why. I'm hoping that if I can figure out what to do at the feed point, instead of having somebody to say, okay, well, you need to put this right here. I respect that. I do. That's what I'll do. But I need to know how it works so that if I want to build my own, I can build my own and understand how to do it. That's kind of where I'm at with it. But I've got some more digging to do, and I'll come back and revisit this. But I appreciate all the help. I do. Let me let this drop. But that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'll figure this out. I'll figure it out. But as of, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking that, okay, I'll just build an antenna and get my SWR down as low as I can, and I'm good to go. And I'm thinking now that that's only part of the equation. And I'm going to have to figure out that other piece. That's what I'm thinking. KO4NUE for station ID.
Since you brought up the most of your frequencies are in the 80-meter band, tonight I checked in. Sue in Zulu Golf was calling the net. She was calling it remote. She was listening from a station up in New York. The noise level is not necessarily the problem. It's the ground wave propagation. It's propagation. They talk about the band going long. If you'd have got in there while the sun was still up, say about 5:30 or so, 80 meters clear as a bell. There's a little noise in there, a little static, not much. It's not like FM by any means. It's not even like AM. The sideband is a little bit different animal. But this time of year, because of the gray line coming in, the propagation changes and the band will go long and people that are close can't hear each other. But if you were, say, in Montana or somebody checked in the other night. I think they were from Wisconsin or someplace up there. But they were a long ways off, as far as our local check-ins. We get North and South Carolina and Georgia and Virginia and Tennessee and Florida when the band is good, and they can be heard very well. But when the band goes long, people overseas, you can hear the BBC, and the BBC can hear us. because that's where they operate on the frequency. But they can hear us, and then a little bit later, the band will shorten up again and drop back to normal parameters, and everything will be good. If you went to HF right now, went over to, what is that, 30, I don't know, say 3915, 3916, somewhere in there, you wouldn't hear all the racket that was going on when the net was going on.
So here's what I did Sunday. At, I don't know, say 1800, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I was listening and having a conversation with some guys. I don't know, I think it was 3912, 3910, something like that. I can't remember the exact frequency. But I heard one of the guys talking in conversation that, you know, hey, we're gonna have to start wrapping this up because things are gonna go to crap here in a minute. So I had my indicator on the screen showing me what my frequency was, and I'm watching the S meter, and as time progressed, and it was about 10 minutes after he said that, my S level went out the roof, and it was horrible. I could not hear anything, and I thought, well, let me see if I can track this on my Manscope. So I moved up. I went to 3915, and it was good. It was decent. It was not bad at all. But about 20 minutes went by, and boom, it just dropped out. I mean, it was horrible. So I moved up to the North Carolina traffic handling frequency, 39 something. I can't remember what it was. It's clear as a bell. 20 minutes went by, 30 minutes, I dropped out. What that did was that allowed me to determine over a period of time to where I could roughly predict when a frequency would drop out just by watching my scope. I know that sounds crazy, but so I moved way on up somewhere in frequency and was talking with a guy in Illinois. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if I'm right, here in about 20, 25 minutes, I'm not going to be able to communicate with this station. And sure enough, I mean, I wasn't far off. It just, boom, it just completely dropped out. But I could reach over there and hit my button on my tuner and change to the dipole that I built. And it was considerably quieter. And I just, I know some of this is propagation. I do think that I have got a couple of issues with the G5RV trying to figure out what I need to do to it to make it work correctly. Instead of just saying, okay, well, I'm happy with my dipole and I'm just going to stay there. I just can't do it. I got to try to figure out how to understand this. And if I get enough data in my mind, or, you know, watching how things work, I'll eventually figure it out. But I'm on the right track. It's just, maybe I just need to get somebody to just dumb it down for me, because it should not be this complicated.
Well, one other question. You keep saying that you switch between the dipole that you built and then the G5RV. Where are they in relations to one another?
G5RV is about 2 feet below the dipole I built. Well, yeah. It's hung on the same line, and it's still parallel to, it's directly under the one I built, about 2 feet.
Be coupling together, and that will make a difference. I think you said that the one that you built is higher than the G5 RV. I'm not saying do this, but it could be that if you raise the G5 RV up 2 feet or whatever the distance is between the one you built and the G5 RV, that would make a difference. Sometimes height makes a difference. It certainly will as far as the way they perform, you know, where they how they radiate, the takeoff angle, and this, all this, that, and the other. I've had folks tell me that, Ed, K4KK, when he wanted to use a receive antenna, he got a 500-foot spool of wire and just rolled it across his neighbor's yards, and it was laying on the ground, and the noise floor was way down, and he could hear real good and all of this. But when he transmitted, he went to his antenna that was up in the air because he didn't want to transmit with his antenna laying on the ground. But there again, you know, sometimes height makes a difference.
So I'm thinking that for example, so I up here to deer camp, I've got the ICOM up here, and I built an identical dipole made out of the same material, communication wire, and brought it up here and put it up at the deer camp. And I turned to check in tonight on the South Carolina sideband to see if, you know, anybody had any traffic or anything to send. And I mean, it wasn't quite FM quality, but it was really nice. It was pleasurable and easy to listen to. But I don't know if I'm just doing something wrong at Campobello, or maybe something's messing with me. I don't know. I don't know, but I got to figure this out somehow. And you know, I want to be able to build the loop like you've got, but I'm afraid I'm gonna damage something if I can't figure this out. And that is restricting me from another build because I'm afraid I'm gonna damage something if I don't get it right. And I just, you know, that's where I'm at. KO4NUE.
KBQ. Got to say it's bingo. This is where years and years of experience pay off. Gary knew to ask that question. I assumed that this antenna was isolated, that it wasn't being affected by its environment, and that's not the case. If you have one antenna hanging close to another antenna, they are coupling to some degree. 2 feet, absolutely they're coupling. And what's happening is pretty unpredictable. To give the G5RV an even chance to perform for you, it has to hang away from anything that it could couple to. And that could be the metal roof on a building that's right below the antenna. You know, it would be no question in your mind if you had a metal roof of a shed or something that was 10 feet away from the antenna, you would you would think maybe I should get that away from that building. Well, maybe you should get the one antenna away from the other, just to give it a good chance to perform. And the transformer will make a difference. Yes, indeed. But thank you, Gary, for knowing enough to ask the question. KK4JBQ.
I'll try that. I'll bring my dipole completely down and then give it another shot. And see kinda what that does. But and I don't know, maybe best thing to do is just roughly try to predict. If I know it's 450 ohm ladder line, I know I've got a mismatch there. So I'll just figure out what the ratio is, and maybe buy a ballon or something to try to guesstimate getting it cleaned up. I don't know. Maybe that's what I'm gonna have to do. But it's just eating me alive because there's another man that knows how to do it, and I don't. And I just, you know, just my quest for knowledge is just becomes a curse sometimes, and I think some things just may be out of my reach, I guess. And I guess I'm okay with that. But I'll figure it out. I'll keep digging and see kind of what I need to do, and give it a fair shake. But if it doesn't straighten up after, you know, I sink so much time in it, I'm telling you right now, it's coming down, and I'll just stick with the dipole I got. But I will do what both of you say and give it a truly a fair shake. But after that, you've got to go. I don't know any other way to say it. But everything, the nice things that I've heard about the antenna, it's got to be something I'm doing wrong. And I'll just start plucking weeds till I hit it, I guess. But I'll leave it at that, I guess. KO4NUE.
K4JBQ. There is another alternative, and I don't know what the magic number is. Experimentation sometimes is your best friend, but of course, we're moving physical things around, and it's not that easy. But if you have the G5RV at the height recommended for it, you're using 80 meters, which in itself complicates issues. A quarter wavelength high is an optimal height for your flat top dipole. A quarter wavelength high. You can go to a half length, which is, you know, over 60 feet. But a lot of folks don't have supports that go that high, and they're there to maintain the higher they go. But I have noted that, and it just occurred to me that if you're going to hang two dipoles on the same support, you need to keep a nominal distance between the two, and it helps them to put one dipole out of phase with the other one. If you have them hanging, the wires going in the same directions, they're in phase. But if you turn them 90 degrees out of phase, that is to say, just to use compass points, your dipole is east-west, then hang the G5RV north-south, and still keep some distance between them. But in that case, they will be out of phase and not affecting each other terribly. So in that case, maybe put the G5RV as high as you can, and then put the dipole lower. If the band goes long, then you're being lower. It'll act a little more like an NVIS antenna, and you will still hear near in stations. And some people will even use a situation like that to use the dipole not as a flat top but as a inverted V, and use it sort of like a guy wire, because it is at the different compass points. It's hard to explain things like this without drawing a picture. I'm sorry. KK4JBQ.
KI4DOS. Chad, you said you're concerned about messing something up. Build all the antennas you want, different lengths, different shapes, different whatever. You got an antenna analyzer. If the SWR is not anywhere close, I wouldn't hook it up to my radio, to be honest with you. I don't know if Larry ever met Gene, WB4ZBZ. Him and some guys went down and were walking around Lake Hartwell. They found a bunch of different scrap items. They found a bicycle wheel, a chain, some different pieces of wire and some other stuff. They put all this stuff together and put a PL connector on it, or SO239 or something. I don't know if they used a connector or what. Might have used just bare coax. But one of the guys had an analyzer with him, and they checked it out. And the SWR was like 1.5 or something. And they used that antenna for all weekend. It was made out of a bunch of junk. Nobody measured anything. Nobody checked anything out. They just found this stuff laying on the beach. They put it together. And as Ray Allison used to say, if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it does not, it's a bird perch.
That's neat. I mean, that is absolutely neat. Oh, my goodness. So, I think that's great. So if my impedance is a mismatch and my SWR is low, then I'm kind of okay. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it's just going to affect the efficiency of it a little bit. It's not going to affect it that bad as far as that goes. If your SWR is down, then you can, it receives and you can transmit on it. You're not going to hurt it, I don't think. If it was a direct short or something of this nature, then yes, if you were running high power, you can, after a fashion, most of the new radios have a protection circuit in there. If the SWR is too high and the finals start getting too hot, it cuts the power down. Whether you do it or not, it does it itself. But it'll only cut it down so far, and if you can continue to transmit, you can still mess up your radio. But that's a protection circuit that they have put in the newer radios that works real well. But if the SWR is down, don't worry about the impedance that much, and try it and see if it works. Your analyzer is a small transmitter. It's using very small amounts of RF going out, but it's got to have something out there to measure.
Alright, so that's good to know. Efficiency, trying to get the most out of what I built, and that's not going to damage anything. But I appreciate you letting me know that. So the other thing I wanted to tell you, and I know some people don't like to say anything about guns on the radio, but so a couple of weeks ago I came up here to the range and was shooting. And brought my rifles back to clean my rifles. And one of them was a 6.8, and the other one was I think 5.56. So, you know, the uppers will come off, and the length of two uppers is pretty close to the 2 meter frequency. So I hooked them up to my little handy and was able to hit the repeater off of two uppers. I have no idea what the SWR was. I did not check it. But when you told me about the bicycle wheels, matter of fact, I made contact with Daniel on it. It was not quality, but it was audible. Just for kicks and giggles. Just to see if, you know, I could do it. And I did. But I think that's absolutely neat to find a bunch of junk and put it together. That's the kind of stuff just absolutely fascinates me. But at any rate, I appreciate all the knowledge and information. And I will get this figured out and make some changes to what I've got. And start going from there. Sometimes I get in a hurry and I miss the details. If the devil is in the details, it absolutely is. And I am the world's worst with something like a cake recipe. You know, it's that, and I always put it in the recipe. You know, this is critical. You gotta add this little bit of pinch of this. If you don't do this, it's not going to work right. Well, maybe my mind is half the time, it goes, oh, well, that's not that important. And, man, with this stuff here, yeah, it's kind of in the details, you know. Taking the trouble to build one is just half the battle. You got to kind of understand what it's doing and what's going on. And I am absolutely not going to let it frustrate me. I'm gonna get it figured out so I can speak intelligently about it. But boy, it sure is a pain in the rump. But that's okay. I'll get it. I'm one step closer. So I appreciate the information I've got so far. KO4NUE.
One more thing, Chad. That G5RV, I'm assuming that it was store-bought. Just for grins and giggles, go back and check their connections. You could have a cold solder joint, something that looks good, but it's not making good connection. I have found that in some of the store-bought antennas that I've had. When I build my own, I don't worry about that too much because I've watched what I'm doing and I know how to solder. But that don't mean anything. I can get a bad solder joint as well. But do go back and just for grins and giggles, check all their connections. If they've got a loose connection in there someplace, that could cause a world of hurt. That being said, I'll say goodnight to you and Larry and Andy and anybody else out there listening. KK4JBQ, KI4LZIK, KO4NUE, KI4DOS. I'm going to the in yonder to check my eyelids for pinholes. Talk to y'all tomorrow. KI4DOS.
Me and Chris give you a holler in the morning. Enjoy your rest. Tell Miss Joy I said hello. KO4NUE, and I'll be clear with you, sir.
KK4JBQ, Gary, get yourself some good rest. And thank you for being here. KK4JBQ.
All right. Well, Larry, I guess I'm gonna say 73s, too. I'm going to get some wood and the stove and figure out this damper over here because it's a little flaky and wakes me up 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because it starts getting cold in here. So I'm trying to figure this thing out. It doesn't have a draft adjustment on the front of it. It's just got three holes drilled in it. So I've got me a couple watts of aluminum foil, and I've been experimenting with the stove. trying to figure out which holes to plug and how many to get me through the night at an even temperature. This is the second winter that I've about got it figured out, but it's taken me two winters to do it, so I'm in the final phases of my testing, if that's what you want to call it. But I think I've about got it figured out. But you know, you gotta have a certain size of wood. You can't put but so many in there. The damper's gotta be here, and the aluminum foil goes in this hole. So that's my life, and that's not, it gets pretty complicated sometimes. KO4NUE.
Yeah, well, what you say reminds me of my dad when he was trying to get our, when we first moved into the house. Goodness, what was that? 1959, into their house in Tennessee. When we first moved in there, it had a central oil-fired furnace. That is to say, it was center in the house, and there was one register. And that one register had to, the heat came out of that, and only that, and it had to go all through the house. And there was no way he could make that work, but he tried, bless his heart. You know, there were bedrooms whose doors were closed, and you'd have the house nice and warm, and go to bed, and it'd be freezing in there. Well, you know, it'd be 40 degrees anyway. So he finally put in central heat, that is to say, the ductwork that took the heat to the various rooms in the house. That was a big improvement. Yeah, it takes some working out, the physics of it. I know you've got an addition, and I wonder if there's any way to conserve the heat that you have, that the stove generates, that you can close off that addition, that particular space. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZ, did you ever fixed or formally situation? I've got an old book I got at the flea market that's from Amateur Radio Handbook 1974, and it's got a whole slew of advanced formulas in here that you might want to know about, from transmission line formulas to, let's see, what's this? Various impedance formulas here.
KO4NUE, let me make sure I got it. Well, Andy, I might try to arrange a meeting, but so I can, or maybe take a picture of them and text them to me or something, or meet you at the flea market or something. But before I do that, I want to go back and revisit the analyzer and take a closer look at what the analyzer is telling me. I'm finding it really difficult to believe that an analyzer is good as the one I bought does not tell me impedance. I'm sure that it does. I'm just not seeing the right number or the right letter that represents what impedance is. Because the last time I used it was with my home-built dipole, and all I did was just check the SWR on it. I did not really dig into impedance that much. So now I'm at that level to where I need to get to the point with to be able to do that. If I do not, then I'm never going to be able to build an efficient antenna. I can build an antenna that will work, but that's like trying to use a butter knife to do brain surgery. I just, you know, it'll work, but oh my goodness, the mess. So I want to go back and look at my analyzer again and see exactly what it's telling me. to see if it's giving me the information, and I'm just not smart enough to see it. But I'll revisit it, and I'll get back with you, Andy. But I appreciate it. Hold on to that book. Don't lose it, because I may need it.
Well, it's like the other book. I got it out at the flea market next to nothing. There's about 13 or 14 different formulas involving MPs and here. And Larry's talking about some of the other stuff earlier. Z for ohms impedance, R for resistance in ohms, XL for inductive reactance ohms, XC for capacitive reactance ohms, RL resistance in ohms acting in series with inductance, RC resistance in ohms acting in series with capacitance, and of course the Greek letter theta. There's about 13 different formulas just for impedance. And as far as the other goes, here, where it says transmission line formulas, there's two here. Z equals 138 log D1 over D2. And Z equals 276 log 2D over D in parentheses.
Those two formulas you just handed out, Andy, is that in the same paragraph, or do you see any writing near it that talks about transmission lines?
Don't see that for ID. I'm going to read to you what it says, but like I said, this is an old book, 1974 amateur radio. It says here, characteristic impedance in ohms for coaxial lines may be determined by. And down further down, it says the characteristic impedance of an open two-wire conductor, like the way it sounds like we're talking about, may be determined by this second formula.
Just one of those. When I did the testing on the efficiency of RG58, RG8, and some unknown brand of coax, and if I remember correctly, what those do is those allows you to determine the amount of loss in dB over a certain footage of a certain type of coax with a certain velocity factor. I've used one of those, and that's why I ask if you saw anything in writing near those formulas that talked about a transmission path. But the antenna is a different ball game here. I'm thinking, Larry, let me let this cycle. What may be happening is that the analyzer is telling me my reactance and my capacitance. And either I need to take those two numbers and do some math to figure my impedance, or there's another screen that I'm not looking at that will give me my impedance, but I just haven't had a need to dig that deep with it. But now that we've had the discussion tonight, I know what to look for. It's kind of like a needle in a haystack. If you don't know what to do or what to look for, it all gets confusing. But I want to go back and take another look and see what the data on the analyzer is telling me. It's got to be there, and I'm just not understanding what to look at. KO4NUE.
KK4JBQ. Quick, I know you want to get to bed. What's the model of that analyzer?
A Rigmaster AA. It's either a 2300 or 5500. It does all HF bands. Does all of them. It's not the top of the line, but it's on up there. But I don't recall, Larry. It's pretty sure though it's 2300. Does that look familiar?
If it's a rig expert and not a rig master, then I can find its manual and study that, and I can be more intelligent about it. They make a model 230, not 2300, but a model 230, AA230 Zoom, or they make a real small one they call a stick 230, and there's an AA55, but not a 5500. There's a 55 Zoom available. Any of those sound more like what we're talking about?
Not the stick, so it's either the 230 or the 55. If you look at both of those, one of them is not going to have a USB port on it, so you can plug it up to your computer monitor and download. Mine will download to the computer so that I can print off what the characteristics of the antenna is. One of them will, one of them will not. But it is a rig something, Zoom. One of the two.
A rig expert, 230 or 55 Zoom. That's enough for me to grab a manual and study it. I think they're just excellent. Everybody thinks they're excellent. Everybody thinks they're pricey too. and you're fortunate to have it. So with that, I'm going to step out. Thank you for a very entertaining and challenging evening. And it's been fun. This is the fun we have in radio. KK4JBQ, I'll be clear. 7-3.
Sure, I got it. I appreciate your help. And we'll get it figured out. I just want to take another opportunity to look at it, see what it's doing. And we'll figure it out. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to just dig my shovel deeper. So, with that said, Andy, I appreciate your help, too. I don't mean to frustrate anybody. And certainly don't mean to get anybody outside of their comfort zone. But I appreciate you, you know, stepping up and trying. But we will figure it out. I'll guarantee you that. So this is KO4NUE at the Deer Camp in Liberty. I will be clear, and I enjoyed the QSO, fellas. 73.
Talk to you later, Larry. Chad, I don't know that you could find this online, but Larry surprised me about the other book, too, and found it online. This book says The Radio Amateur's Handbook, revised by Robert Herzenberg, W2DJJ, by A. Frederick Collins. If you can find this online somewhere, you can get copies of it and see it at any time you want to, because Larry found a copy of the other book I've got, much to my surprise, online. So you might try that.
Well, Andy, I'll see what I can find out. But I appreciate it. All right, Andy, I'm gonna clear on out, bud. I appreciate you hanging with me tonight. KO4NUE, and I'm going to secure my station.
This book was published in 1974. But Larry found the other one, and I didn't think it was possible for him to find it, but from 1922. So it could be out there, KI4LZI.